Good evening, church. Good evening, friends. It's good to be back in the worship service of the Lord. I'd like to welcome any visitor that we might have who's decided to come out and tonight to be a part of our worship service. We want you to know that you are an honored guest, and we want to invite you to come and be with us at any and all time that we have something planned here. In the back of the pew in front of you, there are prayer request forms. If indeed you desire prayer tonight, we'd like for you to fill out one of those forms. And at the proper time, we'll collect those and we'll pray with you and for you that you might be able to overcome whatever spiritual or physical ailments you might be confronted with. We'd also like for you to take a bulletin home with you so that you'll have record of the times that we come together here at this place for song practice, for Bible study, whatever we might be have planned. We want you to be a part of that as well. Tonight, I plan to speak to you on the subject, I shall not be moved. It is my intent to prove by use of the scriptures that God is our refuge, our rock and anchor during the times of storms of this life. Many times we're faced with different storms in this life, whether we be students at school, at home, and on our jobs, different storms arise. Spiritual storms I speak of. Storms of doubt, hatred, even bullying in the school system. We must lean and depend on the Lord. The scripture reading is coming from the book of Psalms, and it's the 62nd chapter, and I'll be reading to you from verses 1 through 6. It reads as follows from the King James Version. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. How long wilt thou imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing, a broken wall. Ye shall be as a tottering fence, as a broken wall against a fall. They only consult. Their only thoughts are to cast down from his excellency or place of honor. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait upon God. Put all your faith in God, for my expectation, my hope is from him. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In verses 1 through 4, we learn to renew our faith in God despite cruel assailants. Verses 6 through 12 teaches us, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. Have no faith in the reward of evil doing, or in profits wrongly made. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken twice. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this. I've heard what? That power belongs to God. Also unto thee, O God, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work, the reward of his work. In verses 5 through 8, we are taught to renew our faith in God, to be steadfast and unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 57 and 58 teaches, thanks be to God. Thanks or praise be to God, which giveth us the victory, the strength to overcome, to stay steadfast and unmovable in the Lord. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, being certain that our labor is effective in Christ, we must be steadfast, we must be unmovable, we must always abound in the work of the Lord. We must not be moved away from God by worldly lust. Psalm 16 and verse number 8 teaches, I have set the Lord always before me. Why? Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. One spiritual song says concerning the Lord, there is no other hope I know. Acts 4 and verse number 12 teaches, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God is our refuge in times of turmoil or distress. We have the knowledge that the followers of Satan are always in agreement to do war against us. Therefore, for that reason, God says in Psalms 94 at verse number 16, stand by me. Be steadfast and unmovable in the Lord Jesus Christ. I only have 2 points tonight. Point number two. Futility is all hope except in the Lord. Don't trust in anything else but the Lord. Psalm 62 and verse 8 and 9 teaches us to trust in God, not in man. Trust in him, in God at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree our lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity, lighter than air. All of mankind is mortal, sinful, weak, vulnerable, and absolutely temporary. I'll share with you this. I once, in a prayer of thanksgiving to God for the treasure of the gospel that God has entrusted in man, in mankind, in jars of clay, the gospel is entrusted. That eternal, entrusted in that temporary, if you will. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, Paul in verse 6 speaks of the word of God as a light of out of darkness, the one who hath shined in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In verse number 7 it teaches, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, referring to the gospel, and jars of clay. Why? That the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. I prayed that prayer, giving thanks to God for the gospel entrusted in jars of clay. One preacher said, in reply to my prayer, do you mean I'm nothing but dirt? Well, concerning the physical man, brother preacher, yes. That's exactly right. We are all men of low degree, dependent upon God alone for hope in this life and the life to come. Isaiah 64 and verse number 6 it teaches, our righteous acts are as filthy rags before God. These words are not meant to be derogatory, but merely to emphasize humanity as contrasted to the Creator. We're nothing. It is not that we have nothing to fear from humanity, but we have nothing to hope for from man. We are all vanity here today. Someone said concerning our vanity, we're here today and gone tomorrow. But I contend that we are here today and gone today. James asked a question. In James 4, verse 14. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while, a little time, and then vanishes away. We are infant babes in the sight of God. We're totally dependent on God. It would be wise if we should not be moved from God, but deeply rooted in the Lord, like a tree planted by the rivers of life. That which is spiritual, the soul of man, will dwell in eternity somewhere, either in life or in death. What do you mean, Brother Elder, you might ask? Well, if we live in the Lord, and if we die in the Lord, then we will gain life. We will hear these words, well done. These are the words that will be spoken to those that have done well in the Lord. Those that have overcome. John was inspired to write to the churches over in Revelation 2. Well done is what we want to hear. Well done. You have been faithful over a few things. Thou hast not been moved from me during the trials and tribulations of this life. Therefore, I will make thee rulers over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Those that have not been steadfast in the Lord, those that love the world more than God, will hear these words from Matthew 7 and verse 23. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Go away from me, workers of evil. These that would be moved from God, from life unto death, will experience the second death, not eternal life. Revelation 20 and verse 13 and 14, it teaches that in the sea gave up their dead, which was in it. And the sea and dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which was in it. Thank you. And they were judged, every man according to their works. We studied about that this morning, if you will. Someone said, stay on your subject, I will. We studied about that this morning. About some people thinking that works are not important. We're saved by grace and not by works. Least any man should boast. But we still must be obedient to every word God tells us. Works are important. James refers, in James 4, verse number 14, to the needs of man. The greatest needs of man is stability of the soul. The inward man needs stability. Man's soul needs salvation. Man's soul needs strength. Man's soul needs protection from temptation. Safety from enemies of God. Those that seek to destroy God's children. Men are incapable of providing such things for themselves. We must look to God. These things are only found in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave his life upon the shameful cross of Calvary. Why did he do it? Because he loved us so. He loved us so means he loved us to the extent that he would send his only begotten Son, God did. Jesus loved us so to the extent that he would die in our place and for us. We deserve death. We must be determined not to be moved from such a rock of ages, even though the tempest rages. Revelation 2 and verse 10 teaches in symbolism that we shall be cast into prison and tried and have tribulation for 10 days, it says. 10 is a numerical symbol of completeness. What is the reference here pertaining to? We shall suffer tribulation throughout the whole of the Christian dispensation. Satan will be at work trying to separate us from God as long as we're in our bodies. Satan separates us from God by sin. Sin separates. Did you not know that? Isaiah 59 and verse number 2. These words, I shall not be moved, must be the Christian theme and battle cry. Psalm 62 and verse number 11 teaches that our dependency must be on the Creator and not upon that which is created. To trust not in oppression, trust not in robbery, riches nor power, but God alone. For our help comes from above. Psalm 121 and verse 1, number 1. Over there we are taught. Power and grace. Power and love and kindness belongs to God. These are the attributes of God that enables him to judge all men in righteousness and truth. Given to every man according to his work. My friends, we must know this. And now, I'll never forget the young man came here and he taught this. And it will stay with me, hopefully. He said, the wages of sin is death. He taught us that if we work for Satan's wages, then we should quit that job before payday. I'll never forget that. Brother Malone, I don't know how much we paid him, but we didn't pay him enough. That stuck with me, and I hope I will never forget that. We must be faithful to God even unto death, and therefore we will receive a crown of life. That's eternal life that I refer to. We cannot earn this crown of life. It is afforded to us, to his God's obedient children that are in Christ Jesus. This is where salvation is. We must stay in Christ Jesus. So many times you hear stories concerning those that are in Christ Jesus, those that get angry or hurt because someone didn't speak to them. Small things, if you will. She didn't speak to me last week. I'm never going back to the Church of Christ again. Would you lose your soul over that? Some will. We must stay in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ Jesus, we become one with God. This means judged in the day of God's wrath in Jesus' name. Not in Jimmy's name. Not in your name. Jesus has taken on our sins through his death. Jesus was a worthy sacrifice, a suitable sacrifice for sin. Revelation 5 and verse number 9 teaches of the worthiness of our Lord and Savior that we should cling to and not be moved away from. Listen. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to open the seals thereof. Why? Because thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Satan knows that if he can move us away from God through our continuing in sin, God forbids this because he loves us. He knows that if he can do this, then we will be eternally separated from God, just as he is. And we will have no hope of eternal life, but eternal damnation, just as he has. Hebrews 2 and verse 3 asks the question, How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that will come to us? What will come of us if we do not give our mind to such a great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed, was made certain unto us by them that heard him? Friend, God has a plan of salvation for the souls of men. Somebody says every time you get an opportunity to speak, Brother Stone, you mention that. That's important. God has a plan of salvation for the souls of man. That's what it's all about. Through the death of his only begotten Son, God has made us one with himself, ridding the relationship with God of the enmity, the ill feelings brought on by sin. Sin that separates us. We must not allow sin to move us from God and from life. We must be faithful to our battle cry. The battle cry is, I shall not be moved. Like the rock of ages, the song says, I shall not be moved. But we must be obedient to God until death, unto death. We must remain in Christ Jesus if we've been blessed to be in Christ Jesus unto death. When I mentioned being in Christ Jesus, I mentioned being in the kingdom church, the church of Christ, the one that Jesus died for, the one that Jesus prayed for over in Matthew 6. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the church of Christ that he prayed for over there. We must, if we're not in Christ Jesus, we're not in that church, we must make preparations to do so. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. Brother Tony, Jesus don't know when he's coming back. Only the Father knows. We must make preparation now. The song says you're unprepared to meet your God. God's plan of salvation is that we would hear and believe the gospel, Romans 10 and verse 17. We must repent of past sins, Luke 13 and 3. We must repent or perish. We must confess Christ as God's Son, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Over there, Jesus said, if you don't confess me before man, I won't confess you before the Father in heaven. We must be baptized, that is to say, submersed in water. This for remission of sin. Baptism puts us into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 26 and 27. We are now being baptized children of God through obedient faith in Christ. Baptism, my friends, is essential. You may have heard that it wasn't, but it is. Mark says so. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and teach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized, shall be saved. It's essential. It's part of the equation. He that believeth not shall be condemned or damned. Listen now. My Bible teaches me in Romans 10 and verse 10 that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But it is baptism that puts us into Christ Jesus. We must be baptized into the body of Christ. First Peter 3 and verse number 21 teaches us that baptism does now save us. If you're Bible believers, you'll know that it's essential to be baptized. Revelation 2 and verse number 10 teaches us that if we're in Christ Jesus, we must be faithful or live faithful lives in Christ Jesus unto death. Then we will receive the crown of life that fadeth not away. That crown of life is eternal life. That's what we're working for. Eternal life. We can't stay here. This world is doomed. You just bought 100 acres of land. Good for you. Either you will die and leave it, or it will burn. The greatest investment we can make is a home for the soul. I believe the song of invitation is "Just As I Am." Is that right, brother song leader? What is it? "Pass Me Not." Just as good. We don't want to be passed by, do we? And we won't be passed by as long as we're obedient servants of God, children of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand. At the conclusion of the song of invitation, we're going to ask you, if you desire to be baptized, you've been properly taught, and you desire to be baptized into Christ Jesus, we want you to come down the aisle or hold your hand up, and I'll come and walk with you. We'll come and we'll baptize you tonight. And if you're in Christ Jesus and haven't been living a faithful life the way you should, it might be that you need the prayers of the righteous that you might be able to overcome. You're struggling with something. We're here for you. Brother song leader.